You're back with Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner. This state has long been known as the skinniest state in the nation. It still is, but the number of overweight people here continues to grow. In fact, if you compare Colorado now to where the country was in 1995, this would be the fattest state in the nation. CPR health reporter Eric Whitney is here to talk about a new report card that looks at Colorado's waistline and other factors affecting its health. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Ryan.
Colorado's still skinny, but only in a relative sense.
Right. It's always been relatively skinny. You know, for a long time, Colorado has been the state with the lowest adult obesity rate in the nation. And for several years, Colorado was the only state where the adult obesity rate was below 20%.
Okay.
But as America has grown increasingly obese, so has Colorado. And we're now up to 22% obese adults. It's still the best in the nation, but it's kind of like going to your class reunion and being 20 pounds overweight, but still feeling good because everybody else is 40 pounds overweight.
Right. And we've now crossed that 20% threshold. So still the skinniest, but one in five people is obese.
Right. We've got a link on the website at CPR.org to this great map that shows obesity rates over time in America. And you can watch individual states and the whole nation get fatter over the years as expressed by darkening shades of color. So Colorado doesn't go deep red like the southern states where obesity rates exceed 30%. But you can see Colorado has lost its distinction of having its own color, being the only state with an obesity rate below 20.
We're talking about this because the Colorado Health Foundation is today releasing its annual health report card. And Eric, it looks at 38 indicators of how healthy the state is, including obesity. I want to mention that the Health Foundation funds health coverage on CPR. But let's talk about where Colorado scores well. We get some good marks for adolescent health.
Yes, the state is actually first in the nation in two categories. One, Colorado has the lowest percentage of adolescents who report being sexually active at about 28%. That, of course, reduces the risk of unintended pregnancies and of spreading sexually transmitted diseases.
What would be the reasons for this?
The foundation doesn't speculate on that. It just says Colorado teens are the least sexually active. It also says that when they are, they're relatively careful. They rank 11th in condom use among adolescents. Adolescents in Colorado are also pretty conscious of diet and exercise compared to other states. They're number one when it comes to eating enough fruits and vegetables.
Okay.
And close to half of all adolescents report engaging in vigorous physical exercise most days of the week here.
Okay, that's adolescents, but there are some real concerns, Eric, about younger kids, right?
Yes. The Health Foundation gives the state a C- for the overall health of kids 12 and under. It says a lot of that is tied to poverty. Nearly one in five kids in Colorado is in a poor household.
And do kids in Colorado mirror adults when it comes to obesity?
Actually, Colorado is seeing a more rapid increase in its childhood obesity rate. You know, from 2004 to 2007, the state actually dropped 20 places, from third leanest for childhood obesity down to 23rd.
So kids here are getting fatter faster than their parents.
Correct.
No easy solution on this one, we know, Eric.
Tackling childhood obesity is really tough because there's so many factors that lead to overweight and obese kids. You know, it's not just one thing. You can't just say, oh, it's sugary soft drinks or they play too many video games or they aren't active enough in schools. I will say that obesity is getting a lot more attention in Colorado. 3 years ago, we saw a new nonprofit called Live Well spring up. It's supported by the Health Foundation, Kaiser Permanente, and others. And it tries to help local communities across the state find solutions that work for them.
Like what?
Last week, I went to an elementary school in Jefferson County, and they're trying something that's called structured recess.
Structured recess. Okay. A lot of us remember recess as not being structured at all. You know, do whatever you want.
You know, that's one way to do recess, but it doesn't necessarily work for every kid. Let's go out to the playground.
Okay.
And I'll introduce you to one young man who wasn't really having a great time at recess.
I know the feeling.
Dylan Milroy here, sixth grade.
Dylan goes to Swanson Elementary in Arvada, and he's kind of small for his age, so he never really got into the big football game that a lot of the other boys would launch into every recess. You know, not a lot of girls would get into the football game either, so teachers at Swanson told me there were always groups of kids, especially girls, who would just sit around during recess and not really be physically active at all. But now they've changed to structured recess, where there's a different theme every day to get everybody moving. Dylan Miller told me that his favorite day is Music Moving Monday.
Because I'm a great dancer.
I've got Irish heritage, and I do, like, great Irish dance moves. It's great.
Oh, yeah, that guy busts some crazy moves, for sure.
Does that mean everybody has to dance on Mondays?
No, but it's an option that some kids really look forward to. The idea with structured recess isn't to get all the kids doing the same thing, but to offer different games and activities every day so the playground doesn't become, you know, dominated by, say, the big pickup football game that leaves a lot of the kids out. There can still be football games, but teachers and playground monitors and the kids, they all learned a bunch of different games at the beginning of the year that they can do at recess. So there's always a few of those games running, and the kids can choose those. The only thing that they can't do at recess anymore is just sit around.
Does this work?
The two teachers I talked to at Swanson Elementary just raved about structured recess. Here's Jesse Tanguma, who teaches fifth grade.
Dramatic change. I can tell you, they're all playing together. I'm not seeing fighting. I'm not seeing any kind of disagreements. There are smiles. They're happy. You can hear it from my classroom. And you don't see kids just sitting in groups. And it's visibly different.
Well, those efforts are in part funded by the Colorado Health Foundation, which is also the creator of this new report card. And are there other approaches that the foundation's pursuing when it comes to obesity?
Obesity-wise, the foundation supports a lot of programs both inside and outside schools. They try to help people in poor neighborhoods get access to healthy food. We did a story a while back about an urban greenhouse that they support in Commerce City. They try to get cities and towns to change the way they plan neighborhoods and roads so that people have safe places to walk and exercise and, you know, so people have healthier options for getting around instead of just getting in the car for everything.
Thanks, Eric, for being with us.
Thank you, Ryan.
Eric Whitney is CPR's health reporter.